Hallelujah. Well, this morning, we're going to start off in teaching on I have titled it Faith in the Name of Jesus. And really, we have taught on the subject of faith, and then we went to the prayer of faith. Now we're going to talk about faith in the name of Jesus. This is not per se, we talk as a new subject. This is really a fine-tuning of all these things go together. You know, you don't now, well, we're going to get the name of Jesus and we'll forget the other faith part, we'll forget the prayer of faith. No, this all ties to making this work. And you need to understand that. Most Christians have look at, really from a teaching standpoint, whatever teaching, like now, whatever teaching God is emphasizing, the biggest problem that happens in the church is people lay the other stuff aside and just follow this one thing. If it's the Word of God, it all ties together. You don't leave one thing, you don't leave holiness set and then go over and teach on faith and you're going to have faith working and you aren't have holiness. Forget it. It ain't working. If you don't walk in righteousness and you don't understand righteousness, your faith doesn't work right. See, you can get over there and get in those subjects all you want. All of it works together. And so we want to keep things tied together here as we go to these teaching. Let's stand to our feet a second. We're going to pray here before we go into the Word. Hallelujah. Father, we do definitely need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And Lord God, Lord, the only way that those things take place and happen, and that's by the anointing of God. And Father, we know that you're present here this morning with us. But Lord God, we want the manifestation of your presence. Lord God, for your being with us. Lord God, we want you to reveal yourself, and especially through your anointing this morning. Lord God, we know that the Spirit is in each one of us to guide us and lead us in the truth. But Lord God, I want the anointing in manifestation, not just something by said in the book. Lord God, I want the anointing on me today. It must be as ministry, or Lord God, we won't minister by the oracles of God, but by the mind of man, and surely we've had enough of that. And Father, I want to thank you for the manifestation of your anointing on me as a minister, but also in the people, Lord God, in their hearing in the name of Jesus, Lord God, so that your will and your plans and purposes can be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. The foundation that we've been teaching on the subject of faith and on the prayer of faith, and now in faith in the name of Jesus, it never changes. Faith is the same. We're going to look at faith in the name of Jesus. But in Mark 11 and verse 22 says, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now in talking about prayer, we talked about the name of Jesus, but we didn't go into real detail. We talked about the area of the authority that we have using the name of Jesus in prayer. We have the authority to use that name. And we found, and I'm just going to read these to you, we have done them before. In John 15, 16, Jesus said, this is the night that he was betrayed, and he said this, you did not choose me, but I've chosen you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever ever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This is one thing you need to understand. Most Christians do not have, if we took Christianity in general, I'm not talking about here, but Christianity in general, most Christians don't get their prayers answered. And it's because of this principle right here. They don't believe. People believe that, you know, sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes it's maybe, sometimes people don't know any of it. They don't know, they just go pray. Jesus said that we have the authority to ask the Father anything in his name, he would give it to us. And the fact of it is that whoever asks, he said, in my name, he may give you. In other words, God wants to. And in that same, in John 16 and 23, Jesus said, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Well, would your joy be full if your prayer's not answered? If your prayers are not getting answered, it is never God's problem, it's yours. It is never God's problem, it is yours. It is never God's problem, it is yours. You are to have a fruitful prayer life that glorifies God. We read it in the book. Any other opinion is from the devil. If you have any other opinion, you didn't get that from God. And there's only one other place that comes from. See, we should, and it's one thing. See, most Christians don't expect to have a real fruitful prayer life. They're just praying and hoping things work out. We need to get past this stuff. See, we're talking about the areas of faith. So we're talking about faith in the name of Jesus. What we're going to go in and discuss, and we're going to begin to look, as I'm teaching here in the name of Jesus, we want to look at this, that we have the authority to use His name, but that name is also the power of God. We're going to do it, and we'll go through it, and we'll prove it in Scripture. That name is not just authority, that name is power. And we need to understand that. Because most of the time, the name of Jesus is just something tacked on to the end of a prayer or tacked on to the end of something. And it would be no more than most people just saying, like I would use my name, Ed Gibson, they say in the name of Jesus. They don't mean anything else no more by it. They're just throwing it on as a religious use on the end. Most Christians have no faith in it at all. If a person had faith in the name, they would sure believe their prayer would get answered. I know that people don't, because most people don't expect their prayers to get answered. And if they do, they're surprised. And so we know this, that people don't have faith in that name. They don't really believe what Jesus said was true about His name, that you and I could ask the Father anything in His name and He'd give it to us. Glory to God. Now, is there anybody here, you've arrived at the point where you just got it every time? It always works for you. Well, good, you're in the right place. See, you need taught. You're just like me. You need taught. Hallelujah. Because why? We need to arrive to a level. You know, we may be at a certain position or place in our life where, you know, we operate on a certain level of faith and it works well for us. But if somebody asked you to go to another place outside of what you know, then it might get a little bit of difficulty. And this is about taking us to another place. What many times we're trying to raise our faith to a place rather than raise our faith in Him to another place. We're trying to take our faith to a place, then we'll have trust in Him. That's why a lot of people's faith don't work. I know this for a fact. I can't raise my level to it, because if I get over it, it becomes my faith. I want to have faith in God. The more I go up here and I have God kind of faith, that's by having faith in God. That's by getting myself faith in the name of Jesus and what that name will do for me and what it'll produce for me. I want to arrive to that place. I want to have my confidence in Him, not my confidence in me or your confidence in you. Have you ever checked you lately? You might find some inefficiency. You might find some lacks and doubts and wonders. Hallelujah. But you can have them running in your mind, but your faith on the inside in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, can cause you to soar in life. What we want to do is I want to begin to look over into these areas here. I want to go into the area concerning doing the works of Jesus, because we want to look at what Jesus said and what He made statement about His name. And we're going to go again on the night that Jesus betrayed. We didn't use this scripture in when we were talking about prayer, because it is not prayer. Many times people put it in with prayer, but it doesn't have to do with prayer. In John the 14th chapter, on the night that Jesus betrayed, Jesus told the disciples something, and thank God John recorded it. Jesus made this statement in John the 14th chapter, and in verse 12, He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me," okay, so with Him and Jesus, He said, "the works that I do will he do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." We need to understand, when we deal in the areas, and we're talking about authority and power here, but we need to understand the works of Jesus. The best thing that Jesus did was leave this earth. Some people go, "I wish Jesus was here." I'm going to tell you, I'm glad He left. Because if He had not left, He would not be sitting on the throne of His authority. He would not have received all authority in heaven and earth if He wouldn't have gone and sat down. He could have not transferred authority to me where He was not seated in the place of it. Man, I want Him there. Next time I want to see Him is when I'm leaving, not staying. See, Christians get weird ideas. We have a lot of religious ideas about Jesus. But if we read the Bible, if Jesus said it was best He leaves, you should not have another opinion or ever talk another thing. Jesus said it was best He left. I'm going to agree with him whether I could figure it out or not. But you'll never figure it out speaking against him. Going around talking religious things, I wish Jesus was here. Well, I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost is here, so Jesus is here. Jesus said, I'm going to send one that's just like me, the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, he came and moved in. And I got filled with him, glory to God. What else would I want? Why would I need Jesus here? I got one already just like Jesus. Two Jesuses is going to do something? You know, we got to get out of our religious mode and our religious thinking. He said we would do our works. He said, if he who believes in me, now Jesus made this statement to the disciples, the ones who believe on me, he said, who believe in me. He didn't say you disciples who believe. He never said that. See, people come up with things and they say, they add words. You know, we have much of Christianity today as a false religion because it's based on what men have preached about the word says rather than taking what the word says. Most Christians don't believe. Most Christians, if you go worldwide, don't believe that we could have signs, wonders, and miracles. Those were done away with. If you went through our community here in the churches, you know, I know churches here in our community, they preach, you know, salvation, but they criticize miracles, signs, and wonders. I've heard them. Why? They have a different religion. They can't read. They have been darkened by their religion. Now, I'm not saying to criticize them, but that's what happens. You get darkened by your religious beliefs, and you can't even read what words say anymore. The Bible says here, Jesus said, the ones who believe in me will do the works that I do. And he says, greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. So for me to do the works of Jesus, he had to go to the Father. That's why I'm glad he left. Then I can do his works. You don't need Jesus here in person so you can do the works. He said, if I leave, you can do the works. That was good enough. You don't believe Jesus? Or, you know. Now, he's talking here not about prayer. This is talking about works. So this is why you got to identify what he's talking about. He's not talking about prayer here. These are not prayer scriptures. This is doing his works. And you need to grasp that. Now, the word works there is just, the word work just means it means an act, a deed or doing or labor or work. It's doing something. It's something you're doing. He said, you're going to do the things that I do. Well, people sit down and read, the church sits down and reads Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and oh, wasn't Jesus wonderful? But those days are gone. All those wonderful works have left town, and Jesus went and sat down at the right hand of Father. Now all we have is forgiveness of sin. They don't even hardly preach a new birth anymore. Loads of people have asked Jesus to forgive their sin, but they ain't ever been born again because a new birth ain't even preached anymore, hardly. They don't preach getting born again because we don't talk. It makes people nervous. We don't want to talk about it. We say, you get your sins forgiven. If you don't get born again, hell's filled with people. Jesus forgave every person of their sin. When Jesus took everybody's sin on the cross, and we're supposed to preach to people and tell them, according to Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians, we're supposed to tell people God is not holding sin against anybody. He's not holding against them. Well, they got the forgiveness of sin, but you need to be born again. And the church has left it. We have so much religion taught. We have so many churches that call themselves Bible churches and Bible believing. I look and listen to what they talk about. There's a minister who's on the radio all the time, and he says a lot of good things. But I've heard that poor man, and he's very popular. I've heard him say so many dumb things that I sit down and think, my God, what Bible does he read? And people love him. The whole thing is they love him. If they love the Bible as much as they love him, they learn something. Dear Lord, don't fall in love with me. Fall in love with Jesus. Dear Lord, hallelujah. Fall in love with the Word of God. That becomes the most important thing, you know. Dear Lord. But anyhow, so they're acts. So Jesus said the acts are the things that he did. His deeds we were going to do. And today, that means you all have ministries of feeding people. You know Jesus didn't have a ministry of feeding people? Do you know he didn't have? We don't have anything in recording that Jesus had a soup kitchen. Not to say you couldn't have a soup kitchen, but number one, I'll guarantee you we'd have a lot less soup kitchens in line if the gospel ever got preached and Christians started living by the Bible rather than their religious beliefs. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Believe what you want. This is why we got to come back. See, we can sit and hear the word and people think, I know what the Bible says. Well, I can know what it says, but not really walk in faith with it and walk in the light of it. Knowing what it says don't matter. If you know the truth will make you free. Knowing the truth. That, you know, the Bible, we use that term, it says no. That's not talking about intellectual. To know, that word know there, if you look it up in the Greek, it's talking about something that you put in practice or you do. It's talking about something you gain knowledge of that you act upon. It's not talking about gaining information. That's why so many Christians, they even sit and have sat under good teaching, but they never get free because they never do nothing with the word. They just think, if I just know what it says, it ought to work. You know, my car don't work unless I go out with the key fob. If I don't have that key fob, that car don't start. I can know the key fob needs to be out there. I can know it, but that thing ain't running until I show up with it. And you need to understand that. Till you start doing it, it don't matter what you believe. Believing is worthless without action. You got to put it to work. Hallelujah. Don't matter what you say you know. This is one thing. I've always found out what I know when I went to do it. And sometimes I found out I didn't know as much as I thought I did. Because when I went to apply it, it wasn't working as well as I thought. So I had to go back and get some more knowing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, that's good preaching anyway. So, what about Jesus' works? When we talk about the works of Jesus, what are the works of Jesus? Jesus told us in Matthew exactly what His works is. He said it. So, we can clear it up. That's what's wonderful. That's what I love about the Bible. I don't have to come up with an idea myself what it is. The Bible clears it up. See, it's simple for me. I don't know about you, I'm simple. I need to be walked through things. Usually the Lord has to take my hand and lead me through. And so, hallelujah. When we go to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew, the 11th chapter. We're going to read here something. This is about John the Baptist being in prison in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Starting at verse 2, and it says, when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. What did he hear about the works? He heard about the works. He heard about the soup kitchen and all the free meals he was given. And that's what he heard about. So he said, man, this must be the thing. This is it. This is the love of God at work. Hallelujah. Oh, people get nervous. I'll tell you, I will definitely get things written online about me now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let them poor people write. I ain't mad at none of them. I just feel so sorry for the stupidity out here. And he said to him, listen, this is what they did. He wanted to know, his disciples came to Jesus, are you the coming one or do we look for another? Here's Jesus' reply. This is what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. Now, he wanted to know, what about the works? Here's what he got. He said, here it is, the works of Jesus. Feeding the poor, paying their rent. Wow, you guys have a different Bible? Now, there's nothing wrong with helping people. This church has done it. My God, we've bought medication for people already. We've done things. But that's not, if you're not going to do the other stuff, don't lie and tell people you're doing the works of Jesus when you do this other stuff. This is what he says. What do we have? The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and what the dead are raised. And what about the poor? We give them all lunch. He says, what? No, the gospel is preached to the poor. Do you know why? At that time, if you go read the history of the age, about 90% of people at that time, there wasn't much of anything called a middle class. Most of the people were poor. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these were this elite group. They were called the Republican and Democrat Party down in Washington. That's where the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those boys are down there, because they had no relationship with the people. And they thought the people were so dumb that they needed, and then listen, this is what we have today, that you're so dumb you need them to rule over you because you ain't bright enough to do anything yourself. So they have to dictate your life. See, nothing's ever today. You see, the Bible isn't for today. My God, the Bible is so relevant today. And the people that say it aren't relevant are the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. That's who they are. They're the ones. And see, what the poor people, what happened was the poor people down here, they literally did not believe that because you were poor and you couldn't understand the Word of God and God didn't really fellowship with you much or do anything because you're so stupid. Sounds like some political parties. You're just so stupid. You just need me in Washington. I'll tell you what. We emptied out Washington for about 2 years. Things would clear up pretty quick. We could use no government for a while. But anyhow, but it's the same too in households and everything else. This is why we're in the mess we're in. There's no leadership anywhere anymore. Nobody wants to be a leader. And so we need, and people don't like it, especially in the church world, if a leader stands up. Whoever today will stand up and let the crowd tell them which way to go, that's who they want to be their leader. They call that leadership. Well, it ain't. But anyhow, these poor people, the reason they're in poverty, they have been preached to them that they're in poverty. And this is the way you're supposed to be. And now, because you don't get it. This is the way you're supposed to be. Now, that still goes on in religion today. I was down in South America, down there in mission trips, and I'm going to tell you what, the religion down there, man, they do nothing but make people poor. That's all they do. See, God loves you poor people. You watch their kids are sick and dying, don't have enough to eat, and God loves you because you're poor. Who ever heard anything so stupid in your life? They promote poverty. The church promotes poverty. If the Catholic Church in America ever preached the gospel they preach in other countries, in these poor countries, American Catholics would drop out of their church so fast. The junk that they're preaching. But Americans are a bunch so stupid, they don't check nothing out. They just go ahead and gulp whatever's given to them, you know. Don't check to find out if it's any good or not. But see, these people are poor. And this is why Jesus said the gospel is preached to the poor. The gospel is, what's the word gospel mean? It means good news. I wish they would just change it to good news and stop the gospel thing. The good news, they never got good news. They never got, see, they didn't get the news. They weren't having preached to them. Under the law, they had healing. But they weren't getting none of it because it wasn't being preached to them. Under the law, you could have prosperity. It's under the law. None of that's being, they don't have any good news preached to them. This is what Jesus found. The poor isn't so they stay poor. It's so they're not poor anymore. When the gospel gets preached, the true gospel gets preached. Let me tell you, I was down in Peru, and I was in Lima, Peru during a time. When I arrived there, it was 12,000% inflation had taken place. 12,000%. Now, what they were doing is every week they'd print new money and distribute because it's rising. And what they do, they just add more zeros on the bills. And I'm serious, you get these bills and they had like a one and so many zeros, you could just write more of them on if you wanted. It was all worthless money anyhow. I mean, you get a wad this big to buy a roll of toilet paper. And I'm serious. Keep your money and wipe with it. It'll go further than the toilet paper. Dear Lord. I'm serious. People would be on the street buying toilet paper. They'd be selling toilet paper by rolls. And these people, you big wads of cash. I thought, my God, you got more paper in your hands on that roll. Why don't you? You're wasting your money buying that thing. Because next week it ain't going to be worth nothing. So they'll add more zeros onto it. This is good preaching. But anyhow, we were down there, and so things are really hurting. Things are really going. Now, I was with a missionary down there who they had a church, and they had this church, and it was in a poorer section of town. It wasn't in the poorest, but it was in a poorer section. But it had been a movie theater, which they bought, and they turned it in. But the most remarkable thing that I was ever seen in my life was when the people came to that church. Because this guy's down here in the middle of all this recession and you walked in his church and you saw his people, you'd have thought all the rich people were coming to his church. But they weren't. They were all people from that community. But he's preaching to them that God will bless them that God will prosper. He had people get up and give testimonies. He had this one lady get up. She got born again and she passed her tongue about God wants to prosper you. She began to pray and see God what to do because she hardly had any money. Her husband had left her and she had five kids. And down when you're in that kind of thing and five kids, man, you have trouble feeding one mouth with this. You got all these kids. He said, the Lord, she prayed and said, the Lord, what do I do? And see, God don't talk to you like people talk. You're too poor to give, or you're too poor to do this, or you're too poor to that. I want you to thank people for keeping people poor, because the church has done a great job in keeping people poor. They don't preach good news. They preach it, we'll take care of you. I'll be your God. Come and worship me, and I'll give you what you need. Come and worship me. People love to be God. Hallelujah. We need to get over this junk. So the Lord told her, now this woman, she's tithing. Isn't that amazing? She's giving 10% of her income, this poor heathen thing. She heard the word and didn't think she was too poor to give. She thought she was supposed to. But what she did is ask God what to do. And God said to her, you have such and such amount of money left that she wouldn't, don't go buy food or something with it. You take that out today. And he gave her an idea about making this little keychain thing. And he said, told her, you go out and buy the material to make that, and you make it and go sell it. And you know what? Her kids needed food, and this sounded ridiculous to go make that thing. See, this is why most Christians are not going to, they're not going to follow the will of God. They're going to follow whatever their circumstance is. And God said, do it. So she said, this is what I did. I was listening to this testimony. She said, I went out and took that, and I made that thing, she said, that God showed me. And I went out in the street, and she said, I sold it for three times the amount that I paid to put it in. And so the Lord said to her, now you keep off the money that you had before, and you take that other, and you go buy and make two more. And she started doing that. And she got a business. In the middle of all this inflation, people are buying keychains. God got them buying these things. And this woman's living good. She's talking how much money she makes. This woman's making money out there listening to God. But she'd have stayed poor if she'd have listened to the average Christian. She'd have stayed poor in the average church. Because the average church wants you to stay poor. Because they don't have God moving, doing anything else. They got to have something to make themselves look like they're doing something. Folks, that's good preaching. But I tell you, I sit and listen to her testimony. I'll tell you what, I wanted to take a running spell. I thought, glory to God. That's the good news. If you're following the will of God, you can't stay poor. You can't. You're going to stay poor because you don't listen to God. You listen to man. The poor love to go to churches and take care of the poor because they don't preach good news, but they get lunch. And they're just happy with lunch. You know, I had a couple come to me one time. They had a guy, he was lazy. They wanted me to marry him. They were Christian. They asked me to marry him. I said, I ain't going to marry him. I said, the girl, I said, you marry this lazy thing, you ain't going to ever have nothing in life. I said, you'll end up being on welfare. You'll end up things never working. I said, nobody in welfare is taking vacations like I can take. They can't do that. They can't do the things. And I said, you'll sit and watch everybody else and you'll become one of these people. They ought to take their money and give it to me. And I said, you marry him. I said, you're crazy. Because you're never going to have nothing. So you need to get that into yourself. God wants me. That's God's desire. Don't let anybody talk you in the place that God wants you to stay in the position you are. God has a plan for you to do better. God can't be asking you for money and not giving you any. If you're doing what he says and giving, he has to be giving back to you. He's a liar. The only thing would make it not work, I ain't got no faith in it. Just like that dear woman. And they had about four or five people got up and testified what God did to them. And these people are coming. That woman was dressed so nice and her kids were dressed good. And this ain't like America. See, they don't have welfare down there. If you don't work, the government says you don't eat. They're more Christian than America. But her kids were dressed nice. And I thought, man, there's God in this thing. No, what we do in America, you parade the poor through. They become the ones. We put them on the covers. We put them out. We don't put the guy out here that made it. No, you don't want him on the cover. We want somebody to inspire you to become nothing. I don't have notes on none of this, but it's good preaching nonetheless. Hallelujah. But it's the Holy Ghost. See, today, I want to tell you, what God's having me talking really radical about things is because people are so far in the ditch. You got to jerk them out of this complacent Christianity, this thinking it gets in people, and you got to jerk them out of it. You can't slowly talk them out. They will never come out. If you talk sweet to them, nobody comes out. They'll stay there. They won't come out of the ditch. God wants everybody out of the ditch. God don't want people living over there in that bondage where they're turn around looking for everybody else to take care of them and everybody else to do something. He wants to be their God. That's His desire. You know, if you learn to believe the Word of God, you're going to prosper. If you don't learn the Word of God, you won't prosper. It's prosperity and the Word of God running hand in hand. You can't get away from it. The more I walk, this is why I'm so adamant about it. This is what the Word believes. When it says something, that's what it says. Any other thing is not the Word and not what it says. And if you believe anything else, you're not believing God. And that's why believe what the Word says. Sometimes the Word seems radical. I know myself, I'd sit down and read the Word and I'd think, oh my God. How could that be true? I remember starting off and look at this. How could this be so? I would compare it to what I've known and what I've done and where things were. And it's like, don't seem no relationship here. But I decided this. If God said it, it was true. Whether I understand it or not, it's true. You know, you don't know how to have to know how things work to make it, to use it. You know, I don't know all about the computer in my car, but I know this. When I get in and drive it, I go places. I don't need to know how that car works to go places. I don't need everything explained to me about the Word of God. I don't know exactly how it's all going to work with Jesus coming back, the raising the dead. We just have a few verses tell us about that. That's good enough for me. That's going to happen. Glory to God. I don't need to say, well, what about this or what about, who cares? Jesus said it was going to happen. It's going to happen. There we go. We got it. That's good enough for me. Let's go on to something I really need to know. Hallelujah. Good preaching. Glory to God. But we have here, we found out here what the works of Jesus are. The gospel preached to the poor of anything in America. We're not having true gospel preached. That's why socialism is so dominant, because socialism is dominant in the church, so therefore it will be dominant in the government, because the church preaches a socialism gospel. Socialism gospel. It's the love of the American church. God is a socialist. He takes care of anything. God is in control. God's handling everything. Well, if He is, He sure made you a mess. See, if you learn to face that, you know. I remember when Kenneth Hagin said, you know, if your life's turned out the way that you made it, I thought, man, that's a rough statement. I was a baby Christian when I heard that. But when I got to know the Word of God and I started looking back and say, boy, I sure did turn my life into a mess, didn't I? I made a lot of wrong decisions, did a lot of dumb stuff, and here I am in the middle of it. Now I got to find out what I need to know to get out of my mess. Hallelujah. It's Randall Greer. Randall Greer said when he first went to jail, you know, and he was a Christian and he got born again because he was out on the run. He had escaped from prison, but got born again, turned himself in, and he said he went to jail. And he said to the Lord that, the Lord put him in jail. He said, God put him in jail for a reason. The Lord spoke to him and said, I didn't put you in jail. He said, you did that yourself by your hard-headed not listening to anybody. And he said, you ended up in jail. I didn't put you here. Jails where the disobedient go. There's a lot of people that I'm in this bad situation because God put, I'm poor. I've heard people, I'm poor. This put God put me in. I say, no, your decisions in life put you there. Your decisions. See, people don't like to hear that. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I don't need to know what you're going through. I know what I went through, and I had to change what I was going through to change where I was. And until I did, everything stayed the same. I couldn't blame my mom and dad. You know, I used to think they were a problem, you know. And it don't matter. Sometimes kids grow up in bad things. But you get old enough where you're on your own, you make your own decisions. You can never blame another person. If you're at the point you can make your own decisions and you're still making dumb decisions, it's because you're an idiot. Quit blaming anybody else. Man, I was an idiot. I blamed everybody else. So finally, somebody had the courage to say, Ed, your life turned out the way you made it. He didn't come, oh, you poor thing, you all, oh, Jesus loves you, oh, you cootie pie. He had the guts to stand up and say, Ed, your life's a mess because you made it that way. Thank God, if he wouldn't, what if I would have never heard that? What could have happened if he would not have been obedient to say that? Well, you can't turn on the TV and hear them tell you that today to you. My God, they won't move in the spirit. Say nothing like that. Stops checks. We ain't stopping checks, man. We got to have the checks. I got to be popular. You can tell I'm running for a popularity contest. You can tell that. Look, I'm not pointing a finger at anybody else. I'm talking to you, but I know I've went through these things. I've had to deal with me on this stupidity myself. So I know you're living and breathing. You go through the same stuff. And so we might as well talk about it. We can sit and play like we're real religious, but get over it. Hallelujah. Any good that's come out of my life, it's been because of Jesus. It's not definitely because of anything I've done. I did for 30 years my thing. Me and Frank Sinatra did it our way. Thank God I got saved. Frank Sinatra didn't. I have a better destiny. Hallelujah. The truth will make you free. Now I want to go on to read here because we were in John the 14th chapter. We read verse 12. But let's go back over there and read. We're going to pick up in 13. The ones who believe do his works. Now listen what he says here. In verse 13 of John 14, he says, "And whatever you ask in my name," Jesus makes this statement, "that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." See, he's talking here. Now, this isn't about prayer. He's talking about works. So he tells them, whatever you ask. Now, I want you to get down listen to the word. Now, Strong's just gives you one word things. It says, like, the word ask, it means to ask, to call for, to crave, desire, require. But I want you to understand, one of the things that I found out in studying about the Greek language is, in any language, is like this. Many times what we want to do, and this is why sometimes translations of the Bible are not really great as they could be, because we try to take a language and fit it to a word of one language and fit it to the American word, something like it. But many times the actual full meaning is a sentence rather than a word. And you need to understand that. So lots of times we read them. This is why studying can turn out good. Now, what I wanted to find out, and this is the thing, is these words, this word is used in the Greek, was used in the Greek language. So what I did is I wanted to find out how it was used in their culture. When they used this word, how did they use it? What did it mean to them? Well, I found out it didn't mean one word. This is the word, listen. This is what this word, the idea. The idea of this word usage would be if someone made a promise and there are conditions to that promise and you fulfilled those conditions, then you can demand or ask for that promise to be met. Ooh, a little different, isn't it? It's a little different just saying the word ask. See, in ours is ask. This is why most Christians love prayer lives don't ask. Most Christians are just asking God. And that's why, you know, I was teaching over the areas of prayer and teaching concerning faith. If you don't know God said yes, see, we sing this moment. All the promises are God are yes and amen. Yes, God. You know, we go through the singing it. All the promises are yes. In other words, it's something that's given. If it has not been given, if God said He will do something for you, if He has not said that, you have no place to be in faith. You have no place to believe that He would do that for you. You can't have faith in somebody to do something they ain't said they're going to do. You need to understand this. See, the church world don't get this. They're out in la-la land. When they say ask, what they mean is we're trying to get God to do this for us. That's their idea. I'm going to ask Him, but we don't know if He'll do it or not. That's not what this word's talking about. It's talking about something that has been promised. If certain conditions are met, then it's promised He'll do it. So we have one of the things it is, we have this. You must ask in faith. We found out that's the law of faith. Without faith, you can't please God. So your promise is not going to get met if you're not in faith. You can ask all you want. You can sit and say, oh, God, give it to you. Oh, God, give it to me. Oh, God, give it to you. He's saying, I already gave it to you, knucklehead. I already did that. I already gave it to you. I already said yes. Why are you treating me like I lied? Oh, but I love you. Oh, you love a liar? You love a God promises and then won't do it? Is that what you love? Oh, man, I'm in love. First thing I wanted to check, I wanted to find out if my wife was a liar because then I could love her. Dear God. Hallelujah. The promises are yes and amen. So if you meet the condition, the promise, you can do this. You can demand. Now, we're not demanding from the standpoint of trying to force God. See, people say, oh, you're going to force God. They don't force God into nothing. They don't have to. He already promised it. If I have to force Him, He's a scoundrel. He's a lying crook. Now, when I go into the bank, if I go in and go to one of my accounts and I walked up to a teller, and I give her my account number and she goes to my accounts and I'm going to take money out of one of my accounts, I don't go say, no, would you please give me the money? And she looks across and says no. And I say, oh, I guess sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. When I walk up, my asking is a demand. That is my money, it ain't her money, and it ain't the bank's money. That's my money. If she says, not today, she better have a gang backing her up. I'm not going. See, my asking is a demand. I never expected to go down to the bank and not get my money. Christians all the time go to God and never really expect to get it. They never walk in and demand like God's going to really do it. They don't ever do that. And see, we're talking here. Jesus is speaking here about using His name concerning His works. This is not prayer. This is about using His name in works. He said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father will be maybe glorified in the Son. If you ask, or we could say you demand anything in my name, I'm going to do it. Jesus said, I'm going to do it. Jesus makes statement of personally concerning His works. He is personally involved. And we're going to go on to find out Jesus Christ's personal involvement is in the authority of His name and the power of His name. With Jesus, when Jesus' name is present by faith, it's as if all the power that Jesus and all that's invested in Jesus Christ is on the scene. This is why we know that Christians don't pray. It means nothing to use Jesus' name in prayer because people don't believe it's going to take place, or it could or it might. We're hoping it does. Why? They don't have. People say, oh man, Jesus be present. When I use Jesus' name, Jesus is present, and in His power of that name and all that's vested in that name is present to do whatever He said He would do. See, we just use the name for a tack-on thing. It's not something to be tacked on. Jesus Christ, His present, the authority and His power are present to personally bring to pass His works. When we pray, we are using the authority of His name, and the Father brings them to pass. But concerning His works, He is present in His name to bring those things to pass. His name is enough. His name is Him on the scene. His name, that is all that He is on the scene. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Jesus. All authority just showed up by faith in His name. See, people have no faith in the name, so He's not present. He's not present by the power of His name. He's not present. We just nice little tack-on thing at an end of a prayer, but have no faith in it. We don't know its value or its worth of what it is. When it comes to work, His name will bring it to pass. We'll go to the Scriptures then, and we'll show you. We won't get all that today. There's all kind of things that we could talk about. So, but we want to understand. So, if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and have faith in Jesus' name, according to what the Word says about Jesus, so I meet the qualifications to demand in His name that the works, concerning the works of Jesus, then I can guarantee that that will be performed. That's going to be performed. You see, we want to pray and we want to move a God. It's just like, you know, I was talking this morning, Mike here, you know, he said about the Scriptures. We want to bring something to pass. But we have to walk in the light at the same time of what we have on things. The church is waiting for a move of God and not walking in what was already preached to them. The church is waiting for God to start doing miracles. Last time I checked, He never did it without people. Many people are wasting their time praying and asking God to do something. They're just wasting their breath because they don't plan on doing a thing. They're praying, well, if God wants it, He'll do it. I'm just praying, well, we need it. We need a move of God. Well, excuse me, I'm having one. I'm having a move of God. I'm not waiting for one. And because I'm having one don't mean you are. You need to understand that. You don't have a move of God because I do. You're going to have your own. Now, God moves sometimes and you get moves of the Spirit and they take off and people get to step into it. But one of the things of it is, when things aren't going on, can you have a move of God? See, most people can't. They can only be involved in a move of God if God brings one without them. Then they can maybe get into something. But you have to see, when times are hard and tough, you have to have a move of God. I don't know, what are you going to, you're just going to sit around and wait for the next revival to come? You might be dead till that happens. Hallelujah. We can have a move of God. You start acting like the Word of God's real. You start acting like it's true, you know, and walking in it. Now remember the fact, because we're dealing with these things here in the name of Jesus, that Jesus' name was also used in prayer to the Father. And you always want to understand that. Whatever we do, the Bible tells us we do, we're supposed to do in the name of the Lord. You see, the lack of faith in the name of Jesus is why Christianity don't live day to day in the name of the Lord. It's just something we throw on when we pray or something we just tack on up there and use it. But it doesn't mean nothing to faith on it. You remember last week and Mike, you know, sharing scripture about concerning talking about in God, it's not just, it's His ability, His grace and stuff. His ability is in that. Grace is what God gives us, is His ability is there to put us over every time or whatever. We have ability we get from Him. And see, this is where the name of Jesus, He says, well, you know, do whatever you do in the name of the Lord. You know, do whatever you do. See, many people, they're praying, oh God, they're praying for, you know, God, give me, you know, strength. Give me this, give me that. Well, why don't you do it in the name of the Lord? In His name, you'll have strength. You know, you don't need strength till you feel strong. That's what most people think. Well, I'll do it when I feel strong. No, it's when you don't feel strong and you start acting. It says, let the weak say I'm strong. If you're weak, you're supposed to be saying you're strong. If you're not, quit blabbing to God trying to get something you ain't even cooperating with. It says, let the poor say I'm rich. No, the poor says they're poor. We teach them that. My God, if you say you're rich, you're a liar. Don't matter what the Bible says. Dear Lord, I talked about having money when I didn't have two nickels to run together. Hallelujah. Got a few more to rub together now, but I wouldn't if I'd have kept doing what the church told me to do. See, you got to get over and do this stuff's real. Do whatever you do in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want God's ability working in my life. I need it. I want to go above where I'm at. There's things I've learned how to cooperate with His strength, but there's stuff I haven't yet. There's stuff I need to cooperate more because I'll tell you, to go to another level, people need to understand this. You are not going to another level on your own because you read the Bible or you do this or that. It requires God to take you there. There's revelation that must come, things you got to dig after to go after to so you can step into that place where He can anoint you greater. You don't go to a greater anointing by just doing what you did. If what you already do would take you to a greater anointing, you'd have it. You wouldn't be looking for nothing. But you go to something greater. You know, faithful and little, ruler over much. We're going to have to be faithful in a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more to go to more much and much and much. So that's just the way it is. There's no other way to do it. If God ain't going to bless you, if God, you know, Jesus said if you ain't faithful with a little, he said if you're faithful with a little, you can be ruled over much. In other words, if you're not faithful with a little, God ain't taking you to another level. This is why, you know, one of the, like false teaching, and I've heard this over the years taught. They say, well, you know, pray and ask God to give you seed to sow. They say, God gives seed to the sower. Well, if you haven't sown, you don't have any seed coming. God can't give you any. He said he gives seed to the sower. He said he didn't give seed to the guy that wants to sow. He said he gives seed to the sower. If you ain't, look, it's the way it works. Do you ever find some dumb farmer out here didn't plant any corn and expected it? Well, they take them out to Phil Haven and give them shots and put them in a rubber room. My God, they don't make a room big enough for the Christians. Dear Lord, it'd be filled with craziness. God, give me seed. I don't plant any, but give me seed. God blesses the labor of your hand. You might have, I'll tell you, when I started, we didn't have much to give. But we took what we seed sowed, and you know what? God was faithful, and we kept getting more back and more back. Our lives got more blessed. We did better, and we did better, and we did better. God blesses the labor of your hand. If you ain't doing nothing, don't expect nothing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good preaching, Ed. Hallelujah. Well, let's look over, because I want to see, because doing the works of Jesus, we can see what Jesus said. Let's look at what Jesus said in Mark, the 16th chapter. We want to look here because of doing the works of Jesus. Jesus specifically talks to his disciples about the works. Now remember, the night he is betrayed, we read there in 14, John 14, what he said. We're going to look at what Mark said, and this is when Jesus is going to depart and leave for heaven. This is when he's going to go and sit down, and this is going to set off the most dynamic thing that's ever happened in Christianity. The Holy Ghost was going to be poured out, and what was going to happen, we're going to have a bunch of Jesuses running around the earth instead of just one, trying to get the one from heaven down here. Remember in Paul over in Romans, when he was talking in Romans about what we call Romans, where we say is about believing on Jesus, you know, believe God raised him from the dead, and we all read that. Do you ever see what he wrote up before? He said about, we don't pray for God to send Jesus down from heaven or God to raise him from the dead. We're not trying to get Jesus here. Quit trying to get Jesus here. We're praying to try to get him out of heaven down here. My God is here! Well, the church keep trying to get him here. What on earth? He's here! Spirit-filled people asking for power. Dear Lord, they ain't got the spirit I got. Dear God. Mark 16, and Jesus said to them, go all into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, another again, preach the good news to everybody. Go preach good news. Good news. Well, good news. Tell the poor they don't have to be poor anymore. Tell the sick you don't have to be sick anymore. They don't have to do that. They don't have to be poor. They don't have to be sick. Now listen to what he says. He who believes... Now listen, he who believes, what? The gospel that was preached, the good news. The ones who believe that. He didn't say, now you apostles, this is what's going to... No, he said the ones you preach, you apostles, go preach the gospel. And the people who believe your gospel, that group, the ones who believe. Well, the last I checked, I believe the gospel these guys preach. That's the one I got saved by. So it's same gospel, okay? So this I know, Ed's done qualified. It's done qualified. I got a qualification here. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, I want you to see something. He said, he who believes will be baptized. He's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about being baptized into Christ. The believer gets baptized into Christ. That's what happens to them. Water baptism don't save nobody. A person... I've had this happen. I've preached the gospel to people. I've had people, you share Jesus to them. They believe it's true, but they won't accept it. If they went and got baptized, would they get saved? If they went and got baptized in water, would that make them saved? See, you get, believe on Jesus, you have to receive it. This is the idea of believing. Believing, the word believe here is a continuous action verb. In other words, this is not something somebody just believes and then you do nothing about it. He said that person would be saved. Now, this is hugely important because we want to talk about this gospel being preached. And I want to talk to you about saved. Because the word here that is used for saved is very important. This is the Greek word sozo. And we need to understand this because I'm going to tell you some of you of what your religious problem is. I'm going to tell you a religious problem that you have. Because every time you read through the Bible and you see the word saved and you see the word salvation, you automatically thinking of accepting Jesus. And so you're limited on what God can do for you. You're limited. Because the word here, salvation, doesn't mean just to be saved. That's not what he... In fact, we're going to find out he's not talking specifically about that because he's going to go tell us the works of Jesus that God wants to do for people in his name. See, they didn't preach a gospel of forgiveness, of just forgiveness of sin. That was not the gospel. Most evangelists and even most spirit-filled evangelists do not even preach the full gospel. People call themselves full gospel preachers. I like to run into a few of them. They don't preach it. They preach a forgiveness of sin. Then some will add the new birth to it. But most don't even go beyond that. What changed my life the most is I heard the gospel through Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. And he told me that if I accept Jesus, he'd heal me, he'd bless my life, he would get me money. See, I was preached a full gospel that in the name of Jesus, I could have deliverance from what I was in. I was an alcoholic and using drugs. I could be delivered. See, the full gospel. No, the church has replaced psychology for Jesus because now we have 12-step programs. And the 12-step programs is how to get free. I had one step called born again. Hallelujah. Delivered me. How did that work? Because the true gospel was preached to me, I believed what he said was true, and I got it. God didn't say, no, Ed, you got to stay bound and go down here to this church and spend 10 years of counseling to try to stay away from drugs and alcohol. No, he told me that if I accepted Jesus and he showed me in the scriptures and dumb old Ed believed it and got free. I didn't know these other geniuses out here, how bright they were, that my God, I shouldn't be free. What happened to me? No, somebody preached the truth to me. I actually had the full gospel preached to me. Most people have never had the full gospel preached to them. They came into the kingdom to try to get fixed. I started off fixed. I started off a new creation, not bound by alcohol or drugs. I started off clean. I didn't have to try to get clean. Why? Because of the gospel that was preached to me. You can't have faith beyond it. You can't have faith to get free if nobody told you you could and you didn't see it in the scriptures. You have no basis of faith for it. We call New Testament church today. Where are they? Dear God, we need a few. Hallelujah. That's what I'm telling you. The gospel is better than preached. The gospel is more glorious than they're telling us, folks. It's greater. Our Jesus is better than they ever said. Hallelujah. He's good news. This word here, sozo, that's used in Greek. It means to save, it means to keep safe, to sound, rescue from danger or destruction. It says also from peril, to save a suffering one from perishing, one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health, to preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save, rescue, to save from the biblical sense. In other words, would be the new birth is what we're talking about. See, that is in there. We preached it. Most Christians only ever preach forgiveness of sin. I don't know how many people I've known going to churches they call Bible churches, New Testament churches, this, that, and I've talked to them personally, and I ask them, oh yeah, I'm saved, I had my sins forgiven. My God, that don't save you, having your sins forgiven. I had that before I ever even came to Jesus. God already forgave me all my sins. I got born again. I had to receive Christ. And then I became a new creature. They don't even preach a new birth. We have churches out here that are full of people who are on the way to hell and don't know it. They accepted a religion. Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this. He said, now this is back years ago. He said, the church has many conversions but few births. Why? The gospel is not preached. We're not telling people what the gospel said. God, Jesus forgave me of my sins. What I need to do is I need to accept the one who forgave me of my sins. I receive him. I become a new creature. And if I do that, health belongs to me. Whatever it is, if I have a tormented mind, I can be sane again. Whatever destruction I'm under, I can be delivered from it. Whatever it might... See, that's the good news. The good news isn't live like hell here in the earth and the devil running over you every day till one day you finally get to go to heaven. That's the Church of America. That's not the gospel. We need to come out from under that. Hallelujah. This is our wonderful Jesus. Now, Jesus said these things. And that's why I say, you know, we don't do enough talking about Jesus and we don't do enough singing about Jesus. We sing about a lot of stuff. But I tell you what, I love songs. I think songs ought to be out and we ought to be singing about Jesus. That name which is above every name. We need to be magnifying Jesus more. God the Father loves it when we praise Jesus. Because Jesus was his idea. Glory to God. When you magnify, I heard some dumb Christians when I first got saved. Well, you know, we worship Jesus too much. We ought to spend more time worshiping the Father. You know, we worship him too much. Dear Lord, he's my Savior and my Lord. Don't you think I ought to spend some time worshiping him and praising him? I think he's poor knuckleheads. The Father's excited. Hallelujah. In the book of Revelation, we see the throne of God and what's brought out? The Lamb. When did the guys throw their crowns down? It's when the Lamb came out. Glory to God. Why? He's Lord. God made him Lord. But he's not Lord in the church anymore. Everybody got their own religion and their own ideas. And we don't even need Jesus anymore. We just got our nice little religious beliefs. Hallelujah. Well, that ain't the way it is here, is it? Hallelujah. We believe in that name which is above every name. And I don't care, that name is what it says, it is what God told us that name means. Hallelujah. And that name means health, it means deliverance, it means salvation. It's everything that I would ever need. It's a redemption from the curse of the law, and the full blessing of the law belongs to you and me. Hallelujah. That's what that name did. And the power of that name will bring it to pass if we walk in faith with that name. Look at what Jesus went on to say in Mark 16, verse 17. These signs will follow those who believe. Well, let me ask, we have believers here today? Now, this is what should be going along with you. We're not trying to get God to do this. We're trying to get in line with this, folks. We need to get in line. See, we need to come to faith in these things. He said, these signs follow. These signs sometimes may or sometimes don't or maybe not. Well, you never know whenever it's God's will. I'm already reading his will. They said, these follow, so therefore they follow. Actually, you know, we find out later on they say a company. It would have been better to say they're a company. You need to understand, we're workers together with God. God accompanies me, and he accompanies you. Whether you realize it or not, he's accompanying you. Glory to God. And I have a wonderful thing. I have the name of Jesus to accompany me all the time, and it's just as if Jesus is present. That's why we do whatever we do in the name of the Lord. We bring his presence into it. Don't you think that'd change some things if we brought his presence into it? What would it be if we prayed for our nation in his name and actually believed he's present in our prayer? See, that's what the prayer of agreement's about. It ain't about a bunch of people showing up at a church together. It has nothing to do with it. Because most people would show up ain't in faith. It's about, Jesus said, if two agree as touching anything they ask, I'm right there in the middle of it. That's as if Jesus Christ himself showed up. Gee, do you think it'll work? That's why I always tell people, and it's the truth. Anything that two of you can agree on from the standpoint, anything that you can get agreement, it will come. If you're in agreement and believe it by faith, it will come to pass. I have never not had the prayer of agreement not work unless the other party decided not to believe it. It always works every time. It always works. I've done it time. Wanda and I have done it so many times where we've gotten to prayer agreement, and it works. It always will work. Why? Because Jesus Christ is in the middle of it. I believe it. Jesus said it. I'm agreeing with you. How could you go wrong? Well, we agreed and it didn't happen. Yes, yeah, because you agreed with the devil in your unbelief. But don't blame God. If you're agreeing, according to Jesus Christ is in the middle of it. How could you go wrong? How could it not happen? Jesus will not be a liar. There's a belief. He says, now what is it? In my name, it says they'll cast out devil, the demons. They will speak with new tongues. Now understand this. Now he says, in my name, they're going to do these. In other words, we could read it like this. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak in new tongues. See, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. What? In the name of Jesus. Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. When I got born again, the Holy Spirit baptized me into Christ. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ baptizing me with the Holy Ghost. Jesus just said here, in His name, we'll speak in new tongues. In His name, He said, we'll do it. He didn't say some speak and others don't. Huh. Oh, but we got our nice religious doctrines in the church. Well, not everybody speaks in tongues, and they use a quotation talking about tongues as a ministry over in 1 Corinthians, which has nothing to do with nothing what the person is talking about, what it's talked about. Jesus said, in my name you will. He didn't say in my name some people might. Jesus said, I'm sorry, I'm going with Jesus on this thing. Hallelujah. You have no proof. You've got to have proof of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Proofs of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is demonstrations of the Spirit. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you don't have demonstrations of the Spirit. You can be questioned whether you're full of the Holy Ghost or not. Why? Because what? The signs that follow believers. These signs follow. These signs maybe might show up once every 52 years. We've had no faith in them. We believe, well, if God wants them, God has to show them up. I'm Spirit-filled. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, young Christian. I got born again. A couple months later, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was talking in tongues, and I'd do it, and I'd go talk in tongues, and the devil, you say, you're just making noise. You're just, you know, doing things. And he said, one day the Lord said to me, if you were just making noise and doing nothing, He would be encouraging you to keep it up. He wanted me to stop. He wanted, but I'd do it. But you know, manifestations started happening to me. Words of wisdom and knowledge would come to me. All of a sudden, I would know things. And at first, it startled me to say, well, gee, is that so? I remember one of the first times it happened to me, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm standing in a church. And God's trying to protect me, and I'm just young and stupid. But a person walks in, and a guy and his wife, we're in the middle of worship, and they walk in, and they walk in and get in a pew in front of us. They come in down the pew in front of us. And we're, Wanda and I are standing there worshiping God, and the kids are with us, and they walk in front, and it just came up inside of me, it ain't doing them any good to be here. And I thought, well, I don't want to think this about an individual. I don't want to. Found out over a period of time, it wasn't doing them any good to be in church. See, people coming to church don't mean they were just, you know, he was all messed up. Turn around, this guy's a Rhema graduate. Turn around, he's flaky as the day was long. Found out he's abusing his wife and all kind of stuff going on. See, it don't matter what people say to him. Listen, see, those things started happening to me. Well, I realized God's trying to protect me. And over the years, I've had that numbers of times. See, we wouldn't get into near the messes we get into. We learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. God starts witnessing stuff to us. And now we just bypass it, don't pay no attention, suffer for years, and wonder why God. And it ain't God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Because listen here. He says, speaking of, now, like he said, they will take up serpents. Now, we're not going to become a snake handling church. None of this is about, remember Jesus? You know, the devil said, take him up in the temple, you jump off. And he said, you don't tempt God. See, Paul in the Isle of Patmos, he was there and the snake bit him and he shook it off and he didn't die. He wasn't handling snakes. In other words, God's talking to us about supernatural protection in Jesus' name. See, you need to learn to do that. See, I learned that when I go on a mission trip and stuff like that. I went to places and sometimes you want to be in faith in the name of Jesus because I don't want to come back with other diseases like many people do. I don't want to come back with problems. I know a minister I was talking to, my words, he was sick for a long time after going on a mission trip. he was sick. I said, do you think the Lord sent you over? What do you think this is going on here? Because he's talking like, well, this is just part of what you deal with. This guy's supposed to be spirit-filled. I was going to cast that spirit out of him, but he wouldn't stand still for it. Anyhow, but you know, believing this nutty stuff, God don't send you there to, you know. I remember the first, I went down to Peru on a mission trip, and so they were having, you know, I don't know if you remember back years ago when they had the communist insurgents down there were causing a whole bunch of, well, I went down, they were having, communist insurgents were running around and stuff going on. And so they were having a lot of problems. On the news was a lot of things on the news. God told me to go to Peru. So I knew he told me to go to Peru, so I'm going to Peru. Then all the great faith people step out. Do you think it's wise? Do you think you're using wisdom? Say, well, no, I'm not. I'm listening to God. Because if I thought about it, I'd stay home. Like you. Because he probably wanted you to go, but you won't in your unbelief. And so he has to send me down to do your job. So anyhow, the whole door, well, what about danger? I said, let me just say this to you. And then they start thinking, well, have you really spent time praying? Have you prayed about your safety? I said, if I got to go through all that nonsense to get God to take care of me, he's the one that sent me down. I said, if he can't take care of me, I ain't going nowhere for him. I said, if I'm going to pray about it, it's about the ministry, what he wants me to do when I get there. If he can't take me there and bring me back, he's an idiot for sending me. Everybody's always praying all the time about things. I've never prayed. You know, God sent me someplace I never prayed about. I always prayed what he wanted me to do when I got there. I want to be in his will and do whatever. I expect him to take care of the things, because if he don't, I ain't going no more for him. He can pack his own lunch and go. He can tell one of the angels to go. I do whatever. See, I don't get how people think about this stuff. To me, it's just, you know, I didn't have anybody specifically ever teach me this. I just thought it was good sense. That my God's good and he told me to go. He's going to look after me there. I just thought he would, and he has every time. And I know the people that prayed and come back sick. Why? Because they were acting like God might not take care of them when they get there. They're fear and unbelief prayers. Woo! Good preaching. Turn this man loose. No, I just told him that God's going to take care. Did you pray? Something might happen. Now, this is what happened on the flight back. Now, we're back in Peru as a group goes along with us. And we're flying back from Peru. I could tell you the whole trip. It was this absolutely supernatural trip going there and coming back. It was phenomenal. I mean, what God did just miracle the whole time. I mean, we just lived in a miracle from the time we got on an airplane to go. And I mean, it was just the stuff that happened. But we're coming back. Now, we come back here. Down there, God moves. Wonderful. We come back and we're flying back into the United States. So you're out there zipping down, coming up, flying over the ocean there, coming across the Gulf of Mexico, and you're flying in. We're coming, flying back in, going to Florida, into Miami. And we hit turbulence, and this plane, this jet is bouncing all over the place. Probably the worst turbulence I've ever been in. But it's just to me, I am not going to get afraid. Those days are gone. I know what it is to live in fear. And so, you know, the plane's all bouncing around and all these people that are in the group, and boy, they're all praying. Like the plane's going to fall out of the sky. But see, the whole thing is this. There's nothing matter if you're praying, but if you're praying because you're afraid, you are causing more problem than good. Fear prayers are dangerous. They open the door to demonic powers. You don't do it out of fear. And one of the women there was in a thing. She started talking to me because, see, I wasn't praying with the group. She started about praying. I said, just be quiet and sit down with me here. I said, I don't care if the wings fall off this thing. I said, Ed's landing. If you're with me, you'll be all right. I said, the devil's shaking the plane. Who cares? He can't make it go down. I'm in it. So you're going to get there because of me. Keep your mouth shut. And you know what they think? Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is? Well, who got there without worrying and who didn't? But they never see that. Hallelujah. It's good preaching. Hallelujah. Well, it said if they drink any deadly thing, by no means hurt them. So in the name of Jesus, if they drink. So in other words, now this is, you know, they've got churches that handle snakes and some of them they drink poison. I think it's the funniest thing in the world. I've always wanted to go to one of those churches and I wanted to take a bottle of poison with them because they will drink a little bit of arsenic. See, what I'd love to do is say, oh, you believe you can drink poison? Yeah, it don't hurt you. And pull out pure arsenic and say, well, then drink it, bud. See, it's easy. People can take little amounts of arsenic. You can drink it. It won't kill you. In fact, you drink it. You start yourself off and drink tiny amounts of it. After a while, you can drink more of it and it won't have, you don't notice any effect. After years of it, you might have a liver quit on you. But other than that, you probably don't need that anyhow. I mean, if you're drinking, doing that kind of stuff, you don't have any brains anyway. So if your liver quits, that's just the second organ you lost. Because your mind done went, you idiot. anyhow, I'd often thought about that. Heresy, now you drink this. Let's see a brave boy. Have that one. Call an ambulance. Well, they'll probably call a mortuary. They'll come and haul him out because they won't be able to help him anyhow, so we'll haul him out. He's not talking about that. See, in life, see, this is one thing I want to learn. I'm not afraid. In the name of Jesus, I can sanctify my food. I can sanctify. In the name of Jesus. You see, it's a life that we live. See, this is why we do whatever we do in the name of the Lord. People always wait till the danger comes and happens, and then they start a prayer life about getting out from under it. Why not have it beforehand so it doesn't hurt you? We go out, eat things sometimes. People get sick around what you know they eat. They go place, get sick. And I don't. I pray over. Eat the same thing that other people eat. But don't get sick. Why? Because I believe in the sanctification of food. I don't have my little religious prayer that I pray over things and go through my little ritual and think God is really tickled because I prayed over my food. I'm going to tell you what, I believe it. He's tickled. People pray over their food and say, well, you just not know whatever going to happen. Well, you just called Jesus Christ a liar. You prayed over your food. We're thankful for this poison, Lord. Lord God, kill us with it. My God, if you need to take us home, just go ahead. I'm willing to have whatever you want. Hallelujah. They lay hands on the sick. What, in other words, in the name of Jesus, they lay hands on the sick and they recover. They lay hands on the sick. It says, in the name of Jesus. So we need to know this. See, most people, they talk about praying for the sick. He's talking about ministry here. This is not praying for the sick. It's under the authority, healing the sick under the authority of the name of Jesus. It's just, in the name of Jesus, be healed. We find in Scripture they did it. In fact, I've talked about this before in teaching in areas of healing sometime back when I taught, is if you read the New Testament, you will find that we have very few occurrences where they prayed for the sick. They almost always, we find that Paul did in the Isle of Patmos, it says he prayed for the sick, but most of the time, they just laid hands on people in the name of Jesus. See, we have our rituals we do in the church, but that's our rituals. They've been done by us. We do them. Now, we need to understand this. They said the gospel is preached and the believers, and we're going to go into this next week, the believers said these signs will follow. They had to have that preached to them that these signs would follow and the authority of the name of Jesus, or they could have had no faith for them to take place. That's an impossibility. They don't follow you because you're a Christian or because you're spirit-filled. You have to have faith in the truth. Do you know the name of Jesus will do these? See, if it wasn't preached to them, if their gospel wasn't preached to them, and we're going to find out, they preached healing deliverance in their gospel. They didn't preach just forgiveness of sin. They preached healing. They preached those things, that Jesus would do those things. And we find out that's why people went and did them, because they were told, when you accept Jesus in that name, He will do those things for you. We don't today. We go out here and say, well, somebody wants prayer, and we just go pray for them. We never stop and even talk to them, take 2 seconds out to give them any gospel about what God do. I'm going to be God. I'm going to take care of it. Because if I share with them, maybe they don't want me to share. I've had people come to me and they wanted me to pray for them and I wanted to talk to them and they said, well, I don't have time for that. I say, I don't have time to pray for you either. Goodbye. You don't have the time for my gift? You think Jesus would have put up with that in his ministry? The people that came up and talked to him and one healed and said, I ain't got time. Quick, do it. I got to go. What do you think he'd have done? He wouldn't have done what the church, coward church does today and bow to whatever the unbeliever wants and any heathen Christian wants. He wouldn't have bowed to it. So the Lord told me, he said, they don't respect your office. They don't respect me. They don't respect your anointing. He said to me, you don't counsel them. They don't respect your anointing. You don't counsel them. They don't respect to sit down and listen to your anointing and teach. You don't counsel them. He called them spiritual vampires. That's what he told me they are. They want what you got without doing what you got to get it. He said, they just want to suck the life out of you. He said, you don't allow them to do that. He said, your anointing is for those who will respect it and want it. He said, I'll give it to them. The church has done nothing but cater to the vampires. That's all they cater to. We as Christians have catered to the vampires, the people that want something for nothing. They want what we got, but they don't want our Jesus. And we keep trying to give to them. Woo! This anointing is something else, I'll tell you. My God. Well, folks, we need to get around speaking the truth. We got to go around telling people the truth. Because it's only the truth that's going to make people free. I want what God has, but I don't want Him. There is no such Christianity. It's non-existent. It's non-existent. It's one thing for a heathen out here that hasn't heard. We have many people, man. Just like a man told me years ago, and I asked him why he don't go to church. He's from Lebanon, yet he was always getting stuff from the church. He said, because if I go to the church, they quit giving it to me. See, he had no love for Jesus. He wasn't going nowhere. He don't care. He wasn't going to go to church. You got all these unchurched people and that stuff, and the churches go up here on the north side of town. They go to Memorial Park, and then they have their feeds up there. We're going to call it reaching the people up there. And what they do is get all their hot dogs and all their stuff. You put all this free food and all this stuff out up there, and all the sinners come down there, and they all come down and eat the food, and they never see them again until the next feed. They don't want our gospel or our Jesus. They know we're just a bunch of idiots that'll feed them whether they work or not. They call that reaching people. Jesus Christ cannot reach people except through the gospel. People get saved. Poor dumb Paul didn't know that. Dumb Paul, he thought that you had to preach. He said that's why God made preachers. Paul said that. Poor dumb Paul. He ain't as bright as the ministers are today. He's not the great rocket scientist they are today. You ain't getting people saved without the gospel. And you got to preach the real gospel to them. And you have to tell them, Jesus loves you, but he'll let you go to hell because that's where you're headed for. And without him, that's where you're going to end up. He died so you don't have to go there. But if you don't take him, you're going there. Oh, don't tell them that. Oh, you'll discourage them. I'm going to tell you what. God got me salvation because scaring the hell out of me. Because he told me I was sending my whole family to hell because the direction I was going. Am I glad God didn't send one of these knucklehead preachers from in town? They'd have told me that Jesus loves you, just forget about it, have a sandwich. Go to hell with them with full bellies and sandwiches in both hands. But God told me the truth. Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me that. He said my family was going to hell because I was leading them there. That did something to me. You know, I didn't care much about my life. Took a lot of the selfishness out of it because I was selfish and self-centered. And I thought, well, this is my life and I'm doing one. When I found out what I was doing to my family. This is why Christianity today is such a mess, because it's a selfish, self-centered thing they call Christianity, and it's demonic. It's about, oh, me and Jesus. If it was just about me and Jesus, I wouldn't waste my time talking to you guys. I wouldn't waste my time preaching. I wouldn't waste my time praying and stuff. Just me and Jesus. But this is what we got today. This me and Jesus. I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I don't need it. I don't need a fellowship. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembly of yourself together. Don't matter. I can do it. Don't matter. It don't matter. I can do it. Yeah. Bible don't mean nothing. Who's Jesus? He's called Lord. He's called Lord. And you were supposed to confess him as Lord when you got saved. He don't become your Lord one day. He's supposed to become Lord on the day you got born again. He's got to say. And am I glad he got to say? I had all for 30 years I had my say, and what a mess that was. Dear God, I'm glad somebody has decent got a say. I'm glad he put people in my path that obeyed him and knew about the lordship of Jesus, and they let him lord over them and they passed good stuff on to me. And I tell you what, I found this out. I've had leaders over me that I told the Lord I won't have them leaders over me because Jesus ain't their Lord. And I said, Lord, I want a leader. I want somebody who Jesus is Lord over to lead over me. I want somebody who will stand up and say, Ed, shape up or ship out. Somebody who will deal. Why? If the Lord can't talk into my life, if he can't do that, there is no lordship. It doesn't matter. All this thing's a fraud. He's the Lord. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. See, the more knowledge we gain, the more of him, we can yield more to his lordship. This is the importance of it. The more I can yield to his lordship, the more of anointing you can have in your life. And you too. It isn't about being me and a minister and having anointing. I'll tell you what. You hook on to things that I minister under the anointing, you can grab a hold of the anointing that's on me. Now, you won't stand in the office necessarily that I'm in, but nonetheless, that anointing, hallelujah. See, it didn't come to church. See, when I went to Raymond Bible School, I went for one purpose, the anointing. I went for the anointing. I wanted the anointing that was there at that place. I wanted that on me. See, you can get all the information you want, but I'll tell you, information without an anointing, forget it, you ain't got nothing. All you got's a bunch of information. But you got a revelation of God because it's the anointing that brings the revelation. That's why you sit under anointed ministers. That's why people sit in these churches and they read scriptures and that stuff and everybody stays dead in the whole place. How can you be in a church and every day, every Sunday come and you quote the Apostles' Creed and walk out the door the same heathen you were when you came in? Because the place ain't, there's no anointing. There's no minister with anointing. He's lost and on his way to hell. And they're standing up and quoting scriptures. There's no revelation. There's no anointing in that place. Jesus not in it. When Jesus comes, there's an anointing. Hallelujah. When Jesus shows up, it's the power of God that changes your life. That's how you got born again. You responded to the word according to scripture. And you got born again and you got a changed life. Hallelujah. How? The anointing. The anointing of God. The Holy Ghost took you, baptized you into Christ, changed your life. This is not some man-made thing. We're just trying to gain information. Hallelujah. If I don't get more of the anointing, who cares about the information? The information is only good with the anointing. Hallelujah. Because it requires God to bring it to pass. I'd hate to preach without the anointing. All over this town, men are standing in pulpits without the anointing preaching. I feel so bad for them. My God, how they do that, I don't know. I guess you can get a canned message out here. Some of them can do that. They say nice things and the paycheck looks good at the end. So maybe, I don't know. But I tell you what, you could keep the paycheck. Don't take the anointing. Don't ever. I don't want ever. See, I know what David said. David, man, don't take your anointing from me. He didn't say don't take my kingship from me. He said don't. He didn't say don't take my anointing. Anything I want is the anointing. I remember when I was just a baby Christian, and Kenneth Hagin said, once you get the anointing on you, and he said it starts working on you. He said it's like an addiction. He said it's like drugs. Once you've had it, you just want more of it, and you want more of it. And see, I want more of it. I want more of it. The more you get over in the flow of the anointing, see, you as a believer, before I was ever a minister, and stuff, the anointing of God would work on me. I would have the anointing would come on me and stuff. Sometimes in a greater way, or less. But I learned to know as a baby Christian what having the anointing and what not having the anointing was. And it's like, man, I want the anointing. And more now, the anointing stays with me. I've never had this before, but over probably the last year, it doesn't, you know, even the anointing to preach, it doesn't seem to lift off of me completely. It used to, you know, I'd preach and then the anointing would lift off of me. Now, it's on me all the time. It's like I could throw a switch and just preach up to anytime. Man, I tell you, just like you could just go off anywhere. It just don't leave. See, it isn't Ed's gotten great. It's a move of God going on. I'm preaching hard because I'm going to tell you, we got to lay stuff down to get over into this thing. This thing is wonderful. This thing is glorious. And it's going to bring to pass everything that your heart ever dreamed or desired. You know, Mike won't be praying after a while concerning those prophecies. He'll be living in them. Hallelujah. He'll be walking in the glory. Hallelujah. That's what we want. We want it till it comes in its fullness. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Father. Oh, Father, I crave after it. I crave after it, Lord God. Lord, we must have it. Lord God, Lord, I'd hate living in this earth if the glory's not poured out. I don't want to be here. And Lord God, you told me I'm supposed to be here. So I know you're going to pour it out. You're going to pour it out. Lord God, Lord, you know with me, I'm not one, Lord God, to be a spectator. I'm just, Lord God, I've never liked doing that. And Lord God, this move of God, I refuse to be a spectator. I don't like spectators. Lord God, I want to be on the field playing. Hallelujah. I want on the field. Lord, just like in the healing revivals of the 50s, Lord, and your prophet Kenneth Hagin, Lord God, in school told us, he said the healing anointing was so strong. He said that people who didn't necessarily even call the healing ministry, they'd go out and start preaching on healing. And he said people would just get healed left and right because of the move of the Spirit. And Lord God, Lord, that same prophet spoke from heaven and said to us, Lord God, that this last day healing revival is going to be far outside of anything the earth has ever seen, that the book of Acts won't even compare to it. And Lord God, we're living in that day. And that was your prophet, and he didn't lie to us, Lord God. And I want to thank you, Lord. That's what we want. We want what's exceedingly abundantly above what we can imagine or think. We want greater upon us. Greater upon us. Greater upon us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something greater. Something is far beyond what we've had in the past, Lord God. Hallelujah. We want that glory to come. Lord, where everybody in the body of Christ is ministering healing. Hallelujah. Where everybody in the body of Christ is casting out devils. Where everybody in the body of Christ is walking in the glory of God. That the world would look and see they know God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, today all we have is people knowing about God. But Lord God, we want to be known as people who know God. Hallelujah. Who walk with Him. And they will say, yes, they walk with God. They know Him. They are friends of God. Hallelujah. And Father God, Lord God, I want to thank you. Woo! Hallelujah. I thank you for your great anointing. Hallelujah. Your great anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something concerning this. Hallelujah. This anointing. See, I've been going from anointing to anointing. The Lord sort of talked to me about it. I put it back. But He just talked to me again about it. So we're going to obey. I'm going to lay hands on people concerning the anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I don't know if you're going to come a wild man like me. I don't know. Wouldn't hurt you none. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it'd be good to have some wild people. Hey, they're going to end up calling us holy rollers, you know? Glory to God. That might be good to call us holy rollers. I'll tell you what, it's just hallelujah. They can call us what they want. People can make fun and say what they want to say. My huge desire is to be able to bring God on the scene for people. Not just hear about God. Bring God on the scene where God manifests. Where God manifests to people. Where people see God, where they see His mighty works, where they see His demonstrations, where they see His manifestations. That's what we want. That's what they want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to, I don't know. Let's just do it. I don't know. First of all, how many of you'd like me to lay hands on you this morning? How many, you know, you do? I want you to do something. We'll do this is to line up over on this side. This way we can move people around to go sit, you know, rather than have a congestion of just people trying to push in to go. Is go down on this side here, and then we'll bring people across and lay hands on people here. Randy Greer laid hands on the spirit down there this time, and he said about an anointing. And my God, lots of times, you know, you sort of work into it, but I've been any more, it seems like it's already jumped on me. Because he said it would be at least 10 times stronger. At least 10 times stronger, at least. Hallelujah. Whew! It is. Well, you can just stay here if you want to in the front. Just stay there. We're going to put people across to come down here to stand beside. Move up here some. Move up this up toward me here. Here, you don't have to run away and hide back here. I promise nobody's going to die. It won't hurt. Just step forward. Line up with each other. Stand side by side, looking this way here, and just hold on there, Sherry, and then we'll get you in the next one. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to beg God, lay hands. Lay hands on people. Hallelujah. The impartation. This anointing. See, this is one of the things is to understand, and it'll benefit you in this area. Most of you here are very, you know, diligent about coming here and things and stuff like that. You know, the closer, and you need to understand this, and I've learned starting with Kenneth Hagin, and then I learned this too as to deal with Randall Greer. The closer you are to a ministry, the closer you are to, you can hook up with that anointing. See, people that ain't close here are not going to end up with what people do that hang in close here. Hallelujah. The more you show respect, not to me as an individual, but to the anointing that's on my life, the more you can grab a hold of things in that anointing. See, just as a young Christian, I mean, I wasn't at Rhema or anything like that, but I supported Brother Hagin, and I listened and read all of his stuff. Lord said, stay close to him. I didn't know what the time was about, but it was about the anointing. In 1982, I went out there and I got, when he told me to go to one of his meetings, I went out to his meetings and I ended up with a teaching anointing came on me from him. Wow, but I was staying close to him in that ministry. See, I was staying close to that. See, too many people don't end up with much because they're tied to too many different anointings. What's God called you to be close to? If he's called you to be close to four other churches, well, you ain't going to ever end up with much. You're going to never have much of anything. Because God's called you to tie to something. Why? Because there's anointings there. There's anointings there. And that's the big thing is getting the anointing. And I learned that a long time ago. I want the anointing. When a minister has an anointing, I don't even stand in his office, but you can get things from that anointing that will come on your life. Hallelujah. That'll help you. Glory to God. That's what we want. That's the anointing. That's the power and the ability to God to bring things to pass. The more I get anointing on me, the more I can bring things to pass. That's why you want more of the anointing. And God's in the anointing business. The reason we ain't had much of that lately, because anointing in the church world has evaporated. Number one, for me to get anointed, I have to follow God close. Most of the time, the anointing's passed on by others. See, that's why I want to hook with somebody. I don't want to hook with just a religious person. I want to hook somebody that's close to an anointing. You hook close to them, they can give you anointing. They can pass on. Somebody that's not, they can't pass on to you what they ain't got themselves. Hallelujah. So I'm going to lay hands on you here. Hallelujah. And this anointing, hallelujah, you don't have to know all about it or know anything about it. I'll tell you what, God will work in you. Hallelujah. Because the anointing will do things in you. The anointing will do it. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, we're not just doing this by us. I'm just following what you showed me to do. And Lord God, Lord, it's not enough. As today we have some anointed people. Lord God, I want this people in this church anointed. I want them personally anointed, God. The power and the glory. Lord God, that what things that are on me that you will put on them, Lord God. Oh, Father God, hallelujah. The glory that you'll bring to pass in them. And I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God. As I touch them, Lord God, it is not me. hallelujah, as an individual. Lord God, it's you working in them, bringing about the things, hallelujah, Father, that you are going to do in them and through them. And I thank you, Lord God, it's going to benefit them greatly. I thank you, Lord God, as its joining has changed me, it will change them. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. Receive the anointing. Receive the anointing in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Let me say this. This is not about feeling or you feel anything or you don't. Randall Greer laid his hands on me this past week and I did not feel a thing when he touched me. But man, when I stepped up here this morning, dear God, it came out on me. Hallelujah. It ain't about you believe you receive it. If you're waiting to feel something, sit down. You might feel something, you might not. It don't matter. Hallelujah. Is this God or not? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive the anointing. Hallelujah. Receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you believe you receive it, you have it in Jesus. You believe you receive it, you got it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. What a birthday gift. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The anointing of God. The anointing of God. The anointing in the name of Jesus that destroys and breaks every yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Oh, the mighty power of God. The mighty power of God. The mighty power of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead, folks. Go ahead to your seats so we can bring others over here. Head out down across that way. Head, you know, so you aren't heading into the people. You can go back there. Come on across. Come on across, Sherry. Walk, people. Hallelujah. 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 See, all you need to do is believe you receive it. You know, it's one thing, see, I did with concerning Randy Greer said he's going to lay hands on us. Before he ever laid hands on me, I said, when I go up there and he touches me, I'm going to receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. When I went up there, he laid his hands on me, and I didn't feel a thing. But I said, before I got there, that anointing's going to go into me. That anointing's going to go into me. See? Hallelujah. And this is what we're doing. We're passing things on. This is just the way God does it. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name, receive that anointing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive that anointing. Receive that anointing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive that anointing. Receive that anointing. Receive that anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Receive that anointing. Hallelujah. So you do know this anointing that's going into will also heal people. This is about the works of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for the healing and that anointing in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that anointing is working powerfully right now in the name of Jesus. Working, hallelujah, hallelujah, working in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You folks just head around down that way and we'll have these other ones come up through here then. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord God, for the anointing. Thank you, Lord God, the anointing. Lord God, of people who are changed. Lord God, not by their power. I want to thank you, Lord God. You're working mightily in them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive that anointing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Yes, receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. Receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive that anointing. Hallelujah. 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 You could go back to your seats. I want to, you guys come on up here. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, you guys come up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I was going to grab your hand and say, lay it on me. I love it.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. If you hunger and thirst for it, hallelujah. Lord, glory to God, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive that anointing. Receive that anointing right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That anointing. Oh. That anointing. That anointing. Receive that. Receive that anointing. Receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Let's, you guys come on, come on down here more. Come down this way here. We'll just, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. In the name. We receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Receiving that anointing in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the anointing. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just receive that anointing. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 You can take your, you can go ahead and, hallelujah. Let me, you know, the more I connected with Kenneth Hagin's anointing, the more when I would go to his meetings, I could tell things about how he was going to minister. I could tell if he was going to prophesy or he was going to do something. If he was going to start operating on the healing anointing, I'd pick that up right away. But see, that's nothing weird. Same anointing. Now, I wasn't standing in his office with that anointing. See, when you're connected to that anointing's working in him. You shouldn't be surprised you pick it up too. See, and this is one thing, see, it's about the more people get anointed, the more really. Today we're trying to have to remove division out of the church, and it's all fleshly trying to remove division out of the church. I'm going to tell you, a church that don't have the anointing, you ain't getting division out of the church. It'll never happen. You'll all just have to decide you're going to do a lot of party stuff together and do things that make you feel good to keep everybody happy. That's what the seeker-friendly church is about, doing all kind of fleshly things to keep people happy and keep them. Don't preach too much, because see, if you get over to God too much, they all puke. But understand this, the church at Laodicea, Jesus said, they make me vomit. Those churches make Jesus vomit. He pukes when he sees those churches. See, I want a place that Jesus comes in and he doesn't throw up. He moves in his glory. He don't look and say, oh man, do I have to go over there? We don't want that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise it. Michael, stand up here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord spoke to me concerning, there's things about the anointing that's on me concerning ministry and ministering. Hallelujah. That you're going to start to step over into, especially in the areas concerning, much deeper concerning the areas of teaching and ministry of the word. It's going to be much deeper than it has been. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that working in him, Lord God, going to another level, going to that next level, Lord God, hallelujah, that step up, that place of ministry that you put him into. And Lord God, he's going to go to a higher place. Much needed in the body of Christ. Much needed, much. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, God used you over in the area of business, but you're going to find yourself, as things begin to move along, as God opens things up here, you're going to find yourself teaching more and doing more teaching in things because of what's going on and happened. As it did back for many during the charismatic renewal, that many business people and some people who were generally in there, but they had an anointing God put on them to teach, and they would go and minister. And lots of times they did a lot of ministry, weekends and different times and things. They were out ministering. Hallelujah. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised, because there's great need for people with truth. There is not many out there like you would think. There's not many out there that run under strong anointings and can minister any deep things. They are desperately needed. Hallelujah. So yield over to this. Yield over to it. Hallelujah. Because you'll be a great, great blessing. Great blessing to people. Great blessing. Hallelujah. 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 Is one thing is to know concerning the anointing. Yield to what you have if you want more. See, many people would like more but have not really yielded over to what they have. And this is one of the reasons we're teaching about the name of Jesus here. See, our sister here, she said about, she wanted a healing ministry and that stuff. And I said to her, I said, you got one. See, you do have one. If you got the name of Jesus, everybody has a healing ministry. Now, some people may have a specific. Now, when I say a healing ministry, I'm talking about we can lay hands in the name of Jesus on people by faith. We can go ahead and do that. Some people specifically have a healing ministry. There are people who do things. Like you, Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn has a specific healing ministry. Kenneth Hagin had a healing ministry. He was specifically anointed by God for specifically in that area. So you'll see much more in demonstration of the Spirit, but not necessarily gifts of the Holy Ghost. A person who has a healing ministry doesn't necessarily have more gifts of the Spirit in manifestation. The gift of healing can operate through anybody at any time. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin used to say, he was called up to heaven and Jesus touched his fingers on the palm of his hands and gave him a healing anointing and told him, if you tell people that you saw me and I touched the palm of your hands and I put healing power in your hands, he said, if you tell them and they believe it and you lay hands on them, they'll be healed every time. And he said, any person that believed it, if I touched them, they got healed. But a lot of people didn't believe it. He said, who's he, Well, anyhow, so they didn't get their healing. But see, he had a healing ministry. But yet he said, that wasn't gifts of healings. He said, sometimes in my healing ministry, gifts of healing would go into operation. So see, you need to just divide. Everybody throws everything in a can together. They see a healing take place. Well, that's gifts of healing. I've never been healed by a gift of healing. I've been always healed by faith. I've never had a gift of healing go into effect and heal me. I've never had that happen in my life. Most of the time in ministry to people, I operate by faith and get the person in faith and get them healed. Gifts of healing don't operate, because I found out you can do that. Kenneth Hagin said this. He was a Baptist minister before he got filled with the Holy Ghost, but he knew about faith and healing, and he was teaching faith and healing, and he said, when I went over the full gospel churches, I found out we get more people healed than they did, because they could only get them healed. They had no faith in healing. They could only do it if the gifts went into operation. So they'd believe for the gifts, but he said, lots of times people, the gifts don't always manifest all the time. He said, we could get somebody healed in our church at any time. He said, they couldn't. Because they had to have gifts go into operation. They operate as the Spirit wills. Faith operates as you will. Hallelujah. That's why this faith thing's so wonderful, folks. That's why it's so glorious. Because I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait for the doctor's appointment. Glory to God. I don't have to wait till heaven moves. Heaven says, if you believe, we'll move. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, before we go today, we're going to take an offering for rescue mission. Hallelujah.